It's so good to be here. And it's good to know that God supplies our needs. And with a good night's rest and a beautiful day to enjoy. And all the things that He gives to us, our health and all the necessities of life. God is just a good, caring God. And He does take care of His people. And though also we don't see all the details and striking details that come, and the maturity in the lives of His people, sometimes we can see that. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verses 9 through 14 that was read in your hearing a moment ago, that passage of Scripture helps us to see what God did to take care of the children, His children. And the passage goes on to say that in spite of God, all that Israel did, they ought to be turned away from Him. And they turned to idols. Of course, that's another session, another day. But today, what we want to do is we want to zero in on verse number 11 of chapter 32 and see if we can make some application there. What a beautiful picture of how God deals with His people. A mother eagle that is training her young to fly. And in the same way the eagle deals with the young, God deals with Israel and He deals with us today. And so let us look more closely at the picture which is in the message. He's training us to live a life of faith. And as He does this, there are some stages that we have to go through. And we've called this God's flight school. He's training us to live this life of faith. And so as we describe these phases that we go through, I want you to look and see if you recognize any of these that's going on in your life. In verse number 11, he says, as an eagle stirs up the nest. Well, he hovers over them. In response, the eagle begins to flap her wings. And as he moves out from the nest, he flaps the wings like flying. And here's this little young eaglet. It has no feathers, but it begins to do what mama does. It begins to flap its wings. It can't fly, but it's developing those wing muscles. And so it's just as natural to them as breathing. And so verse 11 refers to here, says the eagle hovers over the young. And this stage is that it's a demonstration. And we need to realize that God demonstrates to us. God is with us. The Bible says He demonstrates the kind of faith that we're to have in life that we should be leading. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, a familiar passage of Scripture that we've read before, that God demonstrates His own love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God demonstrates His love to us by His Son dying. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 16, and yet for this reason I found mercy in order that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example to those who would believe on Him for eternal life. And so He demonstrates. And God hasn't left us just figure out things on our own. He cared enough about us to give a living demonstration. Remember, Jesus said, you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus was and is the perfect and indispensable demonstration of how we should live our life. Now then, in the church, we spend a lot of time in the book of Acts and the epistles, learning about how the structure of the church, and that's great. But yet we need to spend a lot of time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talking about Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done for us. And so Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, remember Jesus. Remember His attitude. Remember His work. Remember His commitment that He made. Remember the response that He had toward critics. Remember the focus. Remember the concern. Remember the seizing the opportunities to serve. And so what we have here is in teaching this young eaglet to fly, he first must demonstrate, the eagle must demonstrate how you fly. And so God has demonstrated to us. And as we go through, see if you can find some of these that may be going on in your life as we talk about this flight school and you're involved in this. Well, in verse 11, he says, like an eagle that stirs up the nest. It's one thing for that little eaglet to mock its mama flapping the wings. And that is security there in that nest. Mama's made the nest and it's very comfortable. And so to sit there in that nest and flap those wings is very secure. But imagine stepping out to nothing. Out of that, it's way up high, that nest is. To step out of that is going to be uncomfortable. And so the discomfort comes when the Bible says the eagle stirs up the nest. She begins to stir it up. Actually, she begins to poke holes in the bottom of that nest, and the young eaglet will be literally forced to fly. And so what often happens to us in this stage of God's teaching us to live a life of faith is that we begin to be bothered by something. We begin to be uncomfortable. We recognize something's not right. Some little worry that we have. Some little anxious, don't know what it is, but something's out of whack here, and I don't know what it is. My heart is troubled, and I'm restless, Job said in Job 30 and verse 27. It can be about something that's bothering us. Maybe it's a relationship that's bothering you. Maybe an unfulfilled dream that's bothering you. Maybe a stress in your life is bothering. Maybe it's a fear that you have. Maybe it's a weakness. Maybe it's an indulgence that you have that's bothering you. And so we need to find ourselves thinking, one of these days I'm going to have to start working on that. The trouble is the little eaglet is reluctant to get out of the comfort of that nest and fly. And so the trouble with us is, we don't want to face the reality of what's going on in our life. And so God is stirring our nests. He's stirring our comfort zone. He's getting us ready for change. He wants us to face something that we're not facing right now. But He wants us to learn how to live this life of faith. Faith and trust completely and totally in Him. And so in life's flight school, He's stirring us up. He's wanting us to face reality. And that's not easy for some. Easy to pretend that it's not so. And so we need to face whatever it is. Perhaps He wants us to face our neglected finances. Maybe it's a health issue that we have not dealt with. We keep noticing something's happening, something's going wrong, don't feel right, blood pressure's not right, My numbers are not good. Something's going on. Maybe I need to take care of this. And men are the worst. Men are the worst, I think. Oh, it'll be all right. I'll be all right, they say. So maybe it's something we need to take care of. Maybe it's a relationship with a child or a sibling that needs to be mended. Maybe even he wants us to break off a relationship that's not good for us. Not good for me. Not good for the family. Whatever the case, there's this growing discomfort and uneasiness, and it's hard for us to ignore. You know the sad thing that people live their entire lives at this stage. They cling to the nest like the terrified little eaglet, afraid to do anything about the problem. They'd rather live with the discomfort rather than risk the flying. At least the discomfort is predictable. If I were to change, who would know what would happen? And so these people learn to function in their dysfunction. When we find ourselves stalled here in the discomfort stage, we might understand why God brings us to the danger stage eventually. Eventually, in the case of the eagle, the mother gets all the kids out of the nest, eventually. Have you ever seen a full-grown eagle perched in the nest with its mouth open waiting for mama to bring it? No, 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 you don't see that. No, you don't see that. Kicks them out. You know, I think that sometimes we don't realize this, that our children, when they become teenagers, we wonder, what in the world has happened? What has happened? Something has either happened to them or me or us. I don't know what it is, but I'm allergic to them. But you know what, really? Just think about this. What's happening is all those rules you have and all those questioning the rules and breaking the rules and doing this and doing that, they're getting ready. All that is the process that they have to go through to leave home. You don't want them staying in the nest till they're 30 years old, do you? No, get out of here. I'm preparing you to stand on the front porch and watch you walk away. That's what I'm waiting on. And so, sometimes we don't want to do that. It's that discomfort stage, but yet there's the danger stage. Eventually in the case, he's going to have to come out of there. The eaglets were not meant to be nest sitters. They were meant to fly. This danger is not mentioned there in verse number 11, but I believe that it is implied. Now then, what does that say to us? That says that God allows danger or crisis to come into our lives that moves us to quit ignoring the issue. It puts it from the back burner to the front burner. He sends us a wake-up call. And all of a sudden that pain gets so bad we can't ignore it anymore. And so we say, honey, would you call and make me an appointment at the doctor? I got to go get this checked out. Maybe it's a serious issue. Perhaps a spouse threatens to walk out. Maybe a creditor starts to do something about your finances. Like the eagle's nest, the bottom falls out from under us. And we got to do something fast. When that bottom falls out of that nest, that little eaglet's got to do something quick. Because there's nothing between him and the ground but air. He's either going to have to fall and die or fly. And so God wants us to fly. Not just flutter in the nest. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to live a life of faith in him. But yet, the nature of danger or crisis is that it forces us off of the fence. To use our analogy, out of the nest. We have to decide, am I going to move ahead or am I going to retreat? Am I going to face this or am I going to try to run away? With the nest suddenly gone from under the ground, it's coming up quick. It's coming up quick. And I've got to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to fall and die or am I going to fly? I've got to decide. And it may be that that's where you are in this, living this life of faith in this flight school. Maybe you are at this point of making a decision of what I need to do about something that's going on in my life right now. If you're ignoring what's right, whether you're a Christian or not, what's it going to take to get you to come to some sort of decision? Is God dealing with you right now? Is this the issue? Is it your stubbornness? Is it your neglect? When are we going to decide to do something about what's going on in our life that God is allowing to happen to bring it to our attention that we might live the life of faith as his child? What is it? Well, then there's going to have to be a direction change. I mean, it's just obvious. There's going to have to be a direction change. This young eagle is falling fast. He's decided he's got to do something. He must make a change in direction. We're talking about response dealing with God's dealing with us. The decision stage and the direction stage is called repentance. I've got to make up my mind that I'm going to do something. And I'm going to change direction. That's what repentance is. It means I change, I turn from that, I turn. And I quit doing what I'm doing that's wrong. I'm going to have to decide. Turn away from evil, turn back to God. And so some people are reluctant to change direction. Change is difficult for some people. We're sorry the way things are. We've cried tears over it. But we've never really turned loose. We've never really changed our minds. Often Christians struggle with sin, something that's going on in their life. They're sorry for the struggle. They don't like the prospect of the consequence. They might even come forward and an invitation is extended and ask the congregation to pray for them. But there's no real direction change as a result of this. And Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. According to that verse, we have two people sitting side by side. Sorry for their sins, looking at them. Both look like candidates for heaven. But yet one goes to heaven, one does not. What's the difference? What's the difference? One of them was sorrow that produced repentance, a change of direction. The other one was sorry, but there was no repentance. What are we talking about? We're talking about God is teaching us how to fly. How to fly and how to live a life of faith in Him, pleasing to Him, bringing us to maturity. Well, and then there is the doing stage. The adult eagle can teach the young eagle how to fly, but they can't fly for them. Have you ever seen two adult eagles, one riding piggyback? You ever seen that? It'd be funny, wouldn't it, to watch that? One eagle on the back of another fly? No. You got to do your own flying. You don't find that. They must do it. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and verse 5, each one shall bear his own burden. In the realm of learning how to walk, the walk with Christ, we must put forth the effort. The common do-nothing religion today is false. It's a cheap substitute for faith in the Bible. Does this mean that when we get to heaven on our own merits? No, but we got to learn to fly. Often we see the blessings that come in Scripture. The recipients of the blessings are those right in the midst of obedience. They receive the blessing. In Exodus chapter 14, remember that Israel crossed the Red Sea. Moses said, "Move forward." And he stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. While they were doing them the obedience, God blessed. Crossing the Jordan to the promised land, they moved forward, and when the priest's feet touched the waters parted, and they walked through. When Jesus cleansed those 10 lepers, he told them to go to present themselves to the priest. And the Bible says in Luke 17, verse 14, as they were going, they were cleansed. And so as they were doing something, God blesses them. And as we're doing, God blesses us. And so the eagle learns to fly by striving against gravity. That's pulling him down. Pulling him down. And in short, he learns to fly. And it all began back there in the beginning when he, with no feathers, watching his mama flap the wings, knowing that this is the way you fly. This is the way you fly. Then he kicks them out. They got to decide. It's either down there to hit death, or I got to fly. I got to change it. I got to make a decision. Got to change direction. I'm going down, so I got to change direction. I got to go up. I got to fly. So where are you today? Where are you today? Well, there is this deliverance stage. This one is beautiful. Verse 11, he spreads his wings and he caught them and he carried them on his wings. I'm told an adult eagle will swoop down and catch the falling offspring upon her back and carry them back to the home perch. What a beautiful picture of how God cares for us and what God does for us. Paul told young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, what persecutions I have endured, out of all of them the Lord delivered me. In Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, the apostle tells us, the Lord knows how to deliver or rescue the godly from temptation. You see, God doesn't have to leave us to do it on our own. It's just that we must be about doing in order to deliverance come. Deliverance will come when we do what's right. The promise of deliverance is here. We must be striving to fly, even if we can't quite do it yet. But we can still try to fly. So God's teaching us how to fly. If you're a Christian, there's no doubt about it. How's your personal flight school going? What's your attitude toward that? Are you focused on the goal of going solo? Be sure of this thing. God wants you to fly. He wants you to learn how to fly. He wants you to live a life of faith in Him. He'll put you through school. You can't ignore the process. You can't resist the process. Why don't you just cooperate and learn to fly? That's what He wants you to do. He's stirring the nest. He's involved in your life. He's bringing things that are a problem to the front burner to deal with, to make a decision about some things. And so what is it? It's God doing this. God's stirring us. Aren't you thankful God's patient with us? Aren't you thankful God's patient with you while you've been trying to do what's right? He's patient with you right now. He's not giving up on you, even though you're not cooperating with. He's not giving up on you. And He will not give up on you. He wants you to do right. He wants you to live this life of faith. And God has demonstrated His love for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He shed His blood for us. He died on my cross. That was my cross. He took my place. And so He's demonstrated that to us. Can you see God's hand working in your life? Can you see Him stirring things? Have you asked God to strengthen you, give you the courage, the faith to do what's right, to do what you need to do to be right with Him, to live this life of faith that He wants you to live? Asking God to do that, drawing you, pulling you by the love of Christ. And if you've never rendered obedience to Him, the decision is yours. The process of repentance has taken place. And now the direction is going to be different. The decision is yours. You see, He says, come. And as a believer, you turn from sin. You will confess unashamedly before men what you believe about the deity of Christ. That is, He is the Son of God. And die to self-will and self-rule, and be buried with your Lord by baptism into death, raised to walk in newness of life. And let Him add you to the church. Give you a new name, Christian. Wear that name proudly. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. Maybe you've done that in times past, and some things have come, and you're trying to deal with them, and you're dealing with them now. Maybe you need to just repent of that. Turn from it and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm wrong. You're right, I'm wrong. None righteous, no, not one. I agree with that. You've been right all along. And what your word says that I'm doing is not right, it's wrong, and I admit that. And I ask for your forgiveness, and I ask for the prayers of the church that I might be stronger. And I want to thank you for dealing in my life and stirring me and stirring the nest. Stirring me that I'd make the decision and change direction. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for being patient with me. Because of public sin, I want to make the confession publicly. And so, Father, I want to respond today, and I want these people to pray for me. In whatever way you need to respond to Him, He's extended His invitation to you. Then He waits. He waits to see what you will do. What will you do? Would you respond in obedience to Him? As you've learned the lesson in the flight school He's put you through, you've learned what you need to do. Then the decision is yours. And I'll meet you down front as we stand and sing.